Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, July 20th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 87, the third paragraph, as we go through the day we pause, through two paragraphs ending, "It works, it really does." Reading and commenting on these two paragraphs only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Mary P., Reader of the Text, Lorraine N., Betsy H., and Jordan L. The reference number for Monday, January 19th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,363. That's 20363. And for this morning, Tuesday, June 20th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,365. That's 20365. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Lois P., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you again for your service, and thank you for everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. I'm from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 87, the third paragraph. As we go through the day, we pause. Through two paragraphs ending, it works, it really does. Reading and commenting on those two paragraphs only today. I will now ask Lorraine N. to begin reading.
Good morning, Dawn, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lorraine N. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. Very grateful to be at this OA meeting this morning. Here we go. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. Well, I'm going to say it again. This is one of my favorite paragraphs. I probably say that a lot. But honestly, practicing this pause has been probably the one thing that helps me more than anything else in my day-to-day life. You know, I'm thrilled to be reading this paragraph because the pause is a sacred time for me, and I'm learning to drop into it frequently throughout the day. You know, all throughout the book, it mentions pausing as we go through the day, constantly asking that thy will be done. And the pause practice, before recovery, I would just shoot from the hip. I mean, I truly was a loose cannon, and I answered to no one. I was a single mom. I called all the shots, and I eventually made a big mess out of things, but thankfully I found the program. I would say that I began practicing the pause seriously within this past year. I call it a mini meditation where I can simply drop into God. Pausing often, particularly when these frailties mentioned in this paragraph crop up, as they do in anyone's life. Excitement, fear, worry, anger, self-pity, foolish decisions. For me, excitement was always a big trigger. And a sponsor I had along the way said to me that feeling of excitement is the first phase of addiction. And that's very true for me. I remember, you know, when I'd be planning binges, I would get all excited. I was already high just from the planning, high on the way to the store with excitement. I could be super pleasant to the checkers because I was gathering my food and my drugs, actually. So, I have to watch for that. And just in my daily life, when I get worked up, you know, just busy in my day, I drop into the pause. Also, self-pity. Man, can I get on this pity pause? So remembering what I'm grateful for and making a gratitude list is very, very helpful. And that was something I had slipped away from. And now I include at least 5 gratitudes in my inventory every night. And it's super helpful. It shifts my whole attitude. And finally, anger. I came to visions absolutely enraged, angry at everyone and everything, to the point where it nearly destroyed my life and I lost a lot of friendships, or several. But my anger turned out to be the way in to God. It was so bad that I took it to my higher power, surrendering. I mean, I couldn't hide it from my higher power. My higher power knows. And so I just asked to show me the way. I don't like feeling angry. It's ruining my life and people around me. Please help me. And slowly and beautifully, in its time, my higher power is showing me how to turn these human frailties and what I'm learning about them and myself into helpfulness to others. So sponsoring is huge for me, too. But
time.
The sacred pause works. It really does. And thank you for the opportunity to share on this beautiful paragraph. I look forward to the other shares.
Thank you so
now.
Oh, thank you so much, Lorraine, and for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on these paragraphs. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Hi, Rachel H. from New York.
Was that Eileen B. from New York?
Rachel from New York. Rachel H. from New York.
Rachel H.?
Yes.
Okay, was there an Eileen?
California.
I missed, all I have is, I thought I heard an Eileen or Irene from somewhere, and then a Rachel. Is there an Irene or Eileen?
Chris from Washington.
Okay, Chris from Washington.
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A., California.
Linnea G.
Was that a Larry G.?
Stephen G.
Stephen G.
Roz G.
And we'll go ahead and stop there. Okay, I have Rachel H., Chris from Washington, Barbara, Stephen, and Roz G. Was there someone I missed?
Joan Marie.
Joan Marie. Did I miss someone else? Linnea B. Linnea B.
Jinda B. from Pennsylvania.
Jinda?
Cinda. C as in Charlie. Cinda.
Cinda. Okay. I think that was one that I missed. Cinda. Okay. Very good. Okay. We're going to stop there. I apologize to those of you I missed. my hearing being what it is. I have, we're going to start with Cinda B. I think that was one of the first people I missed. Rachel H., Chris, Barbara, Stephen, Roz, and Joan Marie. Cinda, please go ahead and start us off, please, with sharing. Cinda, press
my
star.
Okay. Cinda B. from Pennsylvania, first-time share. I just want to comment about as I'm getting older, I find, you know, I don't have as much energy, which is quite normal. But it's also the emotional energy as well. I mean, like when you don't have a pause and you feel these feelings, it really does take a lot out of you, you know. And so, you know, having that special chair in that special room and just going and just breathing and talking to God and just saying, like, okay, I'm feeling this, you know, what do you want me to do? And just giving it over to Him and just saying to myself, it's going to be okay, you know, He's going to take care of things. And, you know, it really does make me less tired emotionally as well as physically. So I guess with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Cinda B. from Pennsylvania. So appreciate your share. Rachel H., please share with us, followed by Chris.
Thank you so much. Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm so grateful to be on this meeting. And, you know, these words about as we go through the day and pausing, you know, one of the things that hit me when I listened to it, because every time I read these words or hear these words, new things jump out. Even just this idea of as we go through the day, for me as a food addict, I mean, I can't count how many days that the day never started. Like, the day just never even started, really, because if I was waking up on time, I was just, like, I feel like it was almost generous to say I was going through my day. It was, like, more like sleepwalking. So that was something that jumped out at me. And just this idea of pausing, for me as a compulsive overeater, as a food addict, to pause is, like, the opposite. Oftentimes for me, the pause is really the opposite of what I would want to do. I'd want to go, I'd want to do this, I'd want to whatever. And it doesn't always have to be, the pausing doesn't always have to be a prevention because I might go do something negative. The pausing for me is also about, like, whoa, girl, like, slow down here, like, smell the roses. I find that for me, gratitude needs me to slow down. I think it's if I'm not pausing, I'm not looking around, I'm not taking stock about what I have in my life and these blessings. And then that, of course, adds to the agitation, because then I just always I'm looking at what I'm not being given and what's not fair. And something I once heard that was helpful for me is someone was saying he'd been in recovery for a long time, and he said that for him, his first thought is not necessarily a recovery thought, or his first feeling is not necessarily a recovery feeling, but what he learned through this program and working with steps is that that might be the first one, but it doesn't have to be the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth one. And that was so helpful for me, because I think that I have a lot of shame about the fact that I feel like I'm a mean person inside, and that I might have my first thought or first whatever be like this very self-centered or negative or jealous. But with program and with a relationship with a higher power and surrender, like that might be the first thought, but it doesn't have to be the second, third, and fourth one. And what I also find, the longer my food is clean and I'm plugging into a higher power, there are times where it's really not the first thought. So just this idea of the power of the pause and the gift of the pause.
Time.
And thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rachel H. Chris from Washington, please share with us, followed by Barbara A. from California. Star 1, Chris.
Hi, this is Chris. I wish everyone a good morning, and thank you for all, everyone for their service this morning. It works. It really does work. What a fantastic promise this book offers us. I never use pause. If there was agitation, I went directly to either fear, anger, worry, self-pity, which was then followed by foolish decisions. Now it's for me, I try to practice that pause, prayer, and respond. And my response could be meditate, call my sponsor, do a 10th step, write it down, make an amends. And what a relief that I didn't have to go out and break heads. Not that I broke heads, but, you know, just leave the world just in a little bit more dismay and discord. I am so grateful for this program and this paragraph and the paragraphs before and after. I don't have to sit in worry. I have a toolbox that works, that really works. And I just want to thank everybody for sharing their experience, strength, and hope. Thank you. With that, have a good day. I pass.
Thank you, Chris from Washington. Barbara A., please share with us, followed by Stephen G.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. So grateful to share today, to look at, we are closing now on this chapter into action. Been listening quite a bit the past couple of weeks, special editions, daily meetings. So much strength and so much recovery over these past couple of weeks, and I'm so grateful. Speaking with fellows, having a true spiritual experience over the past couple of weeks. And, you know, I'm not one who's going to say and talk about God. I was raised a Catholic. I went to Catholic school, but I wasn't going to talk about the God experience and how much He'd given to me. That was just too much. It was too, I didn't want people to know that. But today I just want to say that that's what's happening here. Someone mentioned on one of the special editions a God tsunami, a God consciousness, tsunami of God consciousness. That happened for me. It poured over me. It surrounded me. It completely flooded with God, with the help of another member praying with me, overcoming the desire to pick up because of the pause, because I took that hand of someone who reached out and said, tell me what's going on. And I told them and was instantly relieved through prayer and sharing and telling another person. That foolish decision wasn't made. I was trying to arrange life to suit myself. And that immediate surrounding God consciousness instantly made me feel full. My stomach, my head, my heart. Working this program the way I've worked it in the past couple months has changed my life. Now we're ready to, into action. That's what I did. I went into action. I did what this book told me to do. So grateful for that. I'm so grateful to share today. Thank you for the service. Thank you. And I will pass.
Thank you, Barbara A. from California. Stephen G., please share with us, followed by Roz G. Star 1, Stephen.
Oh. Hi, Dawn. Thank you. This is Stephen G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. This paragraph, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. Up until this point, I've put down the food. And in steps 1 through 9, I have cleared away the wreckage of the past. And I'm now starting to have some degree of a spiritual experience. The food is becoming neutral. In step 10, I'm taught that the threat to that neutrality is going to be emotional disturbances. And so it shows me a step-by-step actions to get out of that emotional disturbance. And now in step 11, it's telling me that when I'm emotionally disturbed, I'm very much at risk from acting out in self-will. We've learned earlier that I am driven, we are driven by a thousand forms of fear, self-pity, self-seeking. And when I'm emotionally disturbed, my first reaction is to do something, say something, type something. And it's telling me not to do that, that my first thing to do is to go to this higher power, him who has all knowledge and all power. So I must pause, refrain from action, refrain from saying something, refrain from typing something, and go to this power. And this power is going to give me peace, and it's going to give me instructions for what to do next. And what to do next is almost always going to be to do a step 10. So unblock myself so I can reconnect to that power and reconnect to that feeling of neutrality. And this is not a natural thing for me to do because I am a person who wants to play the director of life. I want to control myself and I want to control the external world. And so to pause and to turn to something else for guidance and direction is not a natural tendency. But the book is telling me this is of infinite importance. And I found that to be true. When I pause and I wait, my thinking is somehow changed. And somehow that's all that is needed. But oftentimes the next action is to do a step 10 to unblock myself. Because if I don't do that, I'm likely to act out in self-will. And I'm likely to make things worse and place further blockages between me and this higher power. And I need that higher power, sunlight of the spirit, in order to survive. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much, Stephen G. from Canada. Roz G., please share with us, followed by Joan Marie. And if you happen to be just joining us, we are on page 87, the third paragraph, starting with, as we go through the day, we pause, through two paragraphs ending, it works, it really does. So Roz G., please share with us, followed by Joan Marie, and then I'll take some more names.
Okay, thank you very much for your service. My name's Roz. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. I'm at the dog park, so you may hear a little background noise while I share. And, you know, I'm sure we've all heard that God is in the pause. God is in the pause. I looked up the word pause while I was listening to shares. A temporary stop in action or speech. And pausing today in so many areas of my life is such a blessing. You know, I watch a lot of YouTube videos or Netflix or whatever, and I have the opportunity, I have the advantage of being able to press the pause button if I need to go to the bathroom so I don't miss what's happening on the screen. It's a blessing, you know, not to have to miss. You know, because when you go to the movies and you got to go to the bathroom, you miss something. There's no pause button at the movie theater. Pausing, you know, gives me the opportunity to, you know, take a practice. And, you know, with what we're reading now, it's about refraining from, you know, action or tongue that later is going to cause me to have to make an amends. Because as with all the prior shares, I too am an impulsive person. I want to hit send right away when I receive a text that I don't like, or an email that I don't like, or a message on Zoom, or somebody's saying something that I don't like. I want to shoot back. But the big book has taught me that, you know, when I'm agitated, that I need to pause because it's going to save me a lot of grief later on. So sitting, as I've heard, you know, as I've heard in the shares, just bowing my head and saying, God, how would you have me be in this situation? Always from God, kind, loving, tolerant, understanding. Do I need to set boundaries sometimes? Yes. Because if I don't, my time is going to be completely taken over with circumstances of life, with putting out of fires. So yeah, I need to do that. It doesn't mean I'm always open, but it means that it gives me the chance to think things through.
Time.
And thank you. I will pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G. Joan Marie, please share with us.
Yes, thank you, everyone, for your beautiful shares. And thank you also that I'm, God, that I'm able to listen and not thinking about what I'm going to say. I said pause. Okay, so I'm Joan Marie, M, from Nevada, recovered. Okay, so pause to me means first to ask God before I even speak or talk, and if necessary, to ask others that I know to pray for me. And always, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven in my life. And so I had an incident happen yesterday that really goes with this. That's why I was anxious to share. I got a letter from my bank stating that my debit card was compromised. And, of course, the bank is closed yesterday. I couldn't call. And so I asked for prayer, and I have such a peace. Now, I can feel the nervousness inside of my stomach, but my mind and my heart has such peace because I know without a doubt my God has me in the palm of his hands, and he's a protecting, loving father. I got one time, I felt in my spirit God say to me, you're on your way to your grandmother's house. And I thought, what does that mean? God, what does that mean? And he said, it's a place where you're loved, where you're accepted, where you're safe, and where you're protection. I just love this program. It's so beautiful. And it's all about a spiritual awakening. It's all about God. It's all about coming to know him now. And so with that, I'll pass. And thanks again.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on these paragraphs. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Chanel T. from Washington.
Who was from Washington?
Chanel T.
Chanel T. And who else just gave their
Wendy
name?
Wendy B.
Dolores.
Who was that?
From Arizona.
Dolores from Arizona. Okay.
Linnea B. from Minnesota.
Linnea B. Okay, I have Chanel, Wendy, Dolores, and Linnea. I'll take one more name.
Deb E.
Okay, very good. All right, let's go ahead. And Chanel, please share with us, followed by Wendy.
Hi, I'm Chanel T. in Washington State, gratefully a recovered compulsive eater, not cured. One day at a time, and it works, it really does. When I was brand new, when my sponsees are brand new, when I talk to newcomers, sometimes I'm just like, you know what, you're learning what the disease is, you've lived it, you are reading about it, but let's talk about the promises. Let's also talk about the promises and give you hope. It works. It really does. And in my own life right now, I'm not the fastest learner. I'm good at the morning prayer and meditation time. I've got that pretty much down. I'm getting better at making sure I wrap my day in it in the evening. It's during the day to pause. I too often forget. So guess what? God's giving me some timeouts. He's giving me some opportunities to learn what that pause means, because I'm not having a choice if I want serenity, if I want abstinence, if I want recovery, and if I don't want to cause more chaos in my own and other people's lives. giving me that opportunity to just go to him and say, I don't have this. I know you have this. Please help. And sometimes it's not an actual word or action that I need to take. Sometimes it's more pausing. Sometimes I just have to wait on my higher power, which I'm not good at waiting. I always filled that with food and other destructive behaviors and, you know, caused a lot of wreckage. So this is pretty new for me to be unblocked. No, I don't have a substance in the way between myself and my higher power, and to be able to say, all right, you know what? I'm okay in this pause. This is all right. My higher power's got me. My higher power's filling me. And it's going to be okay. And what's beautiful is I'm starting to see and experience more of the promises by doing that. It's incredible. It's like there's more and more that is revealed to me in my recovery. And it's such a beautiful experience. So I just try to encourage newcomers with that. And that's all I have. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Chanel T. from Washington. Wendy B., please share with us, followed by Dolores.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And the part where it says, you know, we become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, or we're not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. So when I'm in obsessive thinking, you know, about my schedule or about what decisions someone else should make, you know, about things that are just outside of my control, I'm trying to arrange life to suit myself, you know, and it's wasting my energy. And I just love this tool of using the pause. You know, I can look at what I'm focusing on and ask God to help me to let go, to help me to recognize, you know, what's being hooked in, you know, what I'm needing, and let God meet that need, you know, since he's the answer and he's the one that can truly satisfy. I can ask for his perspective on the situation, you know, and I no longer need to waste my energy on trying to figure out solutions on my own, you know. And because I'm a natural fixer, you know, that's just a natural go-to for me, you know, to search for solutions on my own, you know, and it's still a troubling obsession sometimes. And so now I get to just ask God, who knows all the variables, for his wisdom and his direction, you know, and then I can just relax knowing the situation is in his hands. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Dolores, please share with us, followed by Linnea.
Good morning. This is Dolores T., grateful recovering compulsive overeater from Arizona. So I'm so happy to hear you guys working on the steps. One of my favorites. I also appreciated someone saying that it's so great to not be thinking about what I'm going to share while I'm listening to other people. That was a classic message for me. I learned the 11th step, you know, years ago from when I got sober. And you know, I had to memorize it. So when I would drive home from work, I would, you know, go through the whole thing. So, you know, and over time, it's such a big difference between knowing it and memorizing it and living it. And it's still something I really need to practice. And I read it every single morning as soon as I wake up on my little app. And sometimes I read each chapter, each paragraph twice, because I could even read it and not even be thinking about what I read. So I kind of try to really understand what it is. And it's such a powerful prayer. And it's been so helpful to me throughout the day. Show me what my next step is to be, you know, God. And it's about really me having a relationship with God all day, right? But you know what? I still forget it, and I'm still trying to figure things out. And so I have to tell you what I did. I'm so excited about this. I put little alarms on my phone. Everyone in the office is probably going crazy, but at 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 2 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, when it rings, I go, oh, I sit back and I say, thank you, God. And I say, "What? Show me what my next step is to be." It's so hard because once my day starts and I'm running, there's no pause for me. So that's been really helpful, a little helpful tool for me to practice this step. Anyway, that's all I wanted to share. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Dolores from Arizona. Linnea B., please share with us, followed by Deb E.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Linnea. I am recovering compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And what a fantastic prayer, fantastic paragraph. You know, I love it that it says, you know, it works, it really does. And that's like taking money to the bank for me. You know, my very best thinking, very best problem solving skills brought me to my knees and to these rooms. And so it's wonderful to know that there is a solution, there is another way to live. And, you know, it's so automatic to this day still. Though, you know, I learned in science that neurons that fire together wire together. And I learned very early, hey, any emotional upset equals food. And so any emotional upset today, even if I'm unaware of it, the thought is for food. And so this gives me a way to have some spiritual fitness, to have some, it's like wearing a shield, actually, you know, where I can pause. I don't even have, just all day long, thy will not mine be done, thy will not mine be done, thy will not mine be done. It tells us this over and over and over in many places, you know. I am not running the show. I am sober today, sober, quote unquote. So to be in the world that my higher power desires. You know, I'm not dead, and I'm a low bottom, and I could be dead, and I'm not. And I'm in the world to play the role that I was assigned and saved from death. And so, you know, thy will be done. You know, thy will be done. And that takes away, oh, the pressure of having to figure it out, you know, the self-reliance that just fails and is followed then by shame, and then here we go in the whole cycle. And this gives me a way out. And it's so clear, it's so concise, it's so precise, you know, do this. It works. It really does. And that's been my experience. I'm so grateful for it. I know, Pat. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Linnea B. from Minnesota. Deb E., please share with us.
Thanks. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. I'm like so many people have shared, I really like that line. It works. It really does. It, you know, I can... Whenever I talk about, like, I can never pinpoint when the change really happened. I mean, that there was a lot, like, that changed over time. And I feel like for me, like, I had, like, my first spiritual awakening, but then there were, like, multiple awakenings, you know, like, the bulb just kept getting brighter and brighter. And I was just listening to a meeting, like, before this, and the speaker was talking about just doing the actions. You know, doing the next right action and doing the actions, doing the steps. And it's really that it's like just by working the steps consistently every day, all of a sudden my life was different, you know, and it's so hard to pinpoint exactly what it was and when it happened. But it's more of one of those things like afterwards and just thinking about the pause. I was really pleased, you know, the other day I had something happened where I could have been really angry with someone. I, like, justifiably, they did something that kind of screwed me over. And I was really surprised. My first thought was, well, I think probably my immediate thought was like, oh, no, what am I going to do? But I wasn't angry. I just went right into compassion, which is not a usual thing for me. Usually, like, I'll get angry, go through the resentment, and then I can feel the compassion, maybe. And I just went right to compassion, and I was like, I've done stuff like that, too. I get it, you know? And I wrote to her. I said, it's okay. And she wrote back. She's like, I'm really sorry. And I said, I believe you. I really do, it's okay, you know? And I just had this real, I just completely let it go. And I was like, and it involved money. And I was like, my higher power is going to take care of this. Like, I need to just wait. And that pause makes me wait. It makes me a little less reactive. And then it all worked out. Like, I told, like, the solution came up yesterday. And so it was really nice to just see how, you know, I feel like this program is really a practice. It's, I have all these character defects that are default, right? They're my go-tos. I go to them, like, before I even have a chance to pause sometimes. But the practice of working, you know, the fourth step and the tenth step, which is the same columns, you know, of like, what's my part? What is the effect? The practice of constantly going through that, like, okay, what did I do? Why am I angry? What, you know, what's my part in this? Really helps me in those moments. Like, I feel like those moments are proof that it works and that it's like, oh,
time. See,
eventually at some point, okay, I'll wrap it up. At some point it can be replaced. At some point those behaviors change, you know? So I'll pass with that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. We have time for about a minute and a half share if someone would like to take that who hasn't shared in the last few days.
Denise G.
Denise G., go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. Boy, you guys are quick to get on. I'm so glad I'm here, and thank you, Donnie, for your service. This is such a beautiful paragraph for me. I am Denise G., a recovered compulsive overeater in California, and I always would roll my eyes when people say, oh, this is my favorite paragraph. Well, I'm saying it. This is one of my favorite paragraphs. The pause is a godsend for me, and I love all the shares that have been said. I keep talking to the people when they're sharing, saying, oh, ditto, ditto. I love all the shares. It just calms me, and I can go to this pause throughout my day. And through working the steps and working this program, I am learning to do this throughout my day. I am so grateful for this program that has taught me this, because this is my go-to, pausing throughout the day. And when I don't and I forget, I have the 10th step of something I said that I shouldn't have, a sarcastic remark. I have these steps to work on, and I have the willingness to go on through this day with a pause and to do God's will. Thy will, not mine, be done. And pausing gives me that temporary slowdown of the day. And thank you so much for being here and all who do service in this meeting. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Denise G. from California. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Betsy H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you'll surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.